You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
This week I was pondering a couple of questions and just seeking for something fresh to present to you today. And as I was in my prayer time, I just started to think, what would cause educated men of means to take a long journey to a remote village far from their home? What would cause businessmen and maybe even businesswomen to put their jobs on hold to go visit an infant that was denied even a hotel room? And how could a little baby cause such a stir in national politics to upset a king, his court, and the city of Jerusalem? I wonder if we took a fresh look at the nativity scene, what it would look like to us. I know that we have these beautiful, clean, neat nativity scenes in front of our houses, in front of our churches, in front of some of our businesses. Amen. There's still some businesses that aren't afraid to put the nativity scene out front. Amen. But they're clean and they're neat and they're pretty and they're pristine. But what really happened 2,000 years ago? Was it really that perfect of a night, or was there some imperfections? Were there some challenges? Where there's some issues going on? I just think about the scene that was a first-time mother, no hospital staff, no doctor, an inexperienced father, stinky animals in a barn, unexpected visitors, angels, and the Son of God. What an interesting mix of things converging on one night. Interesting thought, isn't it? What exactly was that wonderful night like? Maybe the wise men are coming in and they're trying to give their gifts, and Mary's little lambs just did their business over there. They're trying to bow down and worship. It was an imperfect, beautiful night. I don't know if you know what kind of animals lambs are, okay? Because we get this idea, we look it up on the internet, we see these pretty pictures of lambs, and they're dirty animals. They're stinky animals. I think about a few years back ago, Dad did a sermon, and he used a live lamb on the stage. And it was a 45-minute sermon. I'm not going to do a 45-minute sermon today, so you can get back to your families. And it was a 45-minute sermon. The first part of the 45-minute sermon, the little lamb did its business on the side of the stage, okay? And then he drifted off to the other side of the stage. And the second half of the sermon, the little lamb came back and discovered a snack. They're dirty animals. This was what was next to the Son of God when he was being born. It was an imperfect scenario, if you can get that in your mind today. What would have happened, though, if Mary and Joseph, the wise men or the shepherds, allowed momentary imperfections to get in the way of an extraordinary visitation? Momentary imperfections so often get in the way of something so significant that's going on in our lives. What would happen if Mary, if Joseph had focused on the imperfections, the fact they didn't have a hotel room, the fact they had to leave their home and she was pregnant, the momentary imperfections instead of the beauty of what was going on? Don't let momentary imperfections get in the way of extraordinary visitations. How often we allow the little things distract or to take focus away from something of monumental significance in our lives. God was doing something so amazing. And God is doing something so amazing. But so often we're focused on the wrong things. And right before, if you're not dialed into what the Spirit is doing, right before that encounter of a lifetime, that spiritual moment, the enemy will make sure that you step in some horse manure. God has got the blessing right here. Here it is. It's the Christmas tree, right? But you miss it because there's a couple of things in the way. Maybe there's a smell that's foul. And it just catches enough of your attention to distract you. You know, the enemy is like that. He's always trying to grab your attention. He's always trying to distract you, throw up a smoke screen, try to give you some circumstantial things that will take your mind and your attention off of what the God things are that are going on. Can I tell you that God has events in your journey, crucial moments that will shape and transform you? I bet you those wise men were never the same after that night. I bet you the shepherds were forever marked by that experience. They were never the same. What a blessing to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Here's the thing that I want to tell you today. Eternal significance is always, always wrapped in imperfect circumstance. Eternal significance, the thing that's going to change your life, the things that's going to shape your destiny, is always wrapped in imperfect circumstance. That's right. If you're distracted by this that's out of place and that's out of place and this that isn't all the way the place that it needs to be, you're going to miss what's eternally significant. Can I tell you there was some imperfections in the room that night? There were some things that weren't all the way right that night. Joseph had to take a trip with his pregnant wife. How many know nowadays the doctor tells you if she's 9 months pregnant, don't travel? Imperfect situation. Joseph couldn't get a room with a pregnant wife. Imperfect situation. Joseph and Mary had to flee the country to save the life of their infant. Imperfect situation. But it was the Son of God. Eternal significance. Eternal significance wrapped in an imperfect situation. Moses, God tells Moses, he said, I want you to be the spokesperson. You are going to be the spokesperson in the middle of this chess match between Egypt and my people. And Moses says, but God, I've got a speech problem. Imperfect situation, eternal significance. Eternal significance is always wrapped in imperfect circumstance. But here's the thing. The problem is we want eternal significance wrapped in perfect circumstance. Come on, be honest with me today. Can we just be honest? Turn to somebody and say, be honest today. Come on, be honest with me today. We want eternal significance wrapped in a perfect circumstance. We want it, but we want it to be presented to us in a perfect way. There's no problem. Nobody did some poo-poo on the floor. There's no dirty sheep in the corner of the room. There's no donkey trying to lick your infant's head. We want perfect circumstances, but that's not how life is. If you can see through the imperfect circumstance, you will see the eternal significance. God didn't say, Abraham, leave your country. I'm going to give you a treasure, small treasure, a small army to travel with. I'm going to give you a map to the promised land. He didn't say that. He said, eternal significance in perfect circumstance. God didn't say to Mary and Joseph, you know what? Forget about the travel thing. Don't travel. I'll make the wise men come to you. They're going to show you, they're going to give you a baby shower in town. And you know what? King Herod, he's going to be happy about Jesus. He's just going to abdicate the throne to you. No, in perfect circumstances. When you look at the imperfections of your circumstance, don't overlook God's eternal significance at work. When you're looking at the imperfections of your circumstance, come on, people of God. Come on, somebody just wake up this morning and I want to tell you something, that God is doing something right now in the middle of your life if you can see through the imperfections. If you can see through the imperfections of your life, you will see God's significance. God's significance at work. And that is the problem. The problem is perspective. When we get our perspective on the imperfections instead of the significance, when we get our eyes on what's going wrong instead of the divine things that are going right, this is what we have to grab hold of. God does his best work in imperfection. God came down into a chaotic world. It says the world was without form and it was void. And then God began his best work of creation. The world was a mess. The world was in sin. The world had deteriorated. And God said, I'm going to give my best gift right now in the midst of this imperfection. And I'm going to call it Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us in the midst of our imperfection, God with us. Isn't that something to think about? When you smell the horse and the donkey manure in your life, God is probably doing something. When you're feeling financial strain, God is in the midst. God is doing something. When you feel like there's some relationships that aren't all the way doing what they should be doing for you, God is in the midst. When you feel like you've been dealt an unfair hand, can I tell you that God is in the midst of that imperfect situation? You're looking at your life, you're looking at your job, you're looking at your career, and you're saying, I'm not quite happy with my accommodations like Joseph, but God is in the midst of it. If we can focus, if we can shift our perspective and see what God is doing in the midst of our imperfection, don't miss the eternal significance. Maybe you didn't get that promotion yet. You didn't get that. You thought there was some vacancies and you're still in the humble bullpen. Don't miss the eternal significance of what God is doing. The Son of God is in your midst. Can I get my robe? I want to tell you what the important thing is. If they can get my... It's gonna appear behind curtain number two. Do, 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 do. Here it is, right here. Doesn't Nelson look regal today? Nelson, you're going to have a turban crown.
Got to get it out of your eye. There you go. Here, you hold. Here we go. Here we go. It's going to work. It's going to work. There we go. There we go. There we go.
Where's the sash?
There you go.
No, that's the wrong jam.
The important thing is the king in the room?
There you go.
Is the king in the middle of your circumstance? In the middle of what's going on right now, in the middle of all that imperfection, is the king in the middle of the room? I want to have what the wise men had. I want to have what the shepherds had. I want to have what Mary and Joseph had, which was perspective. They had perspective. When they came into that room, they weren't focused about what was on the floor. They weren't focused on the lambs, weren't focused on the donkeys, or if there were any other animals in the room. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now, as long as the king is in the middle of it. There's going to be some stuff that isn't always all the way right in your life. There's going to be some stuff that kind of stinks. You wanted this, you got that instead. Maybe you were looking for this and you were denied that. Probably some less than perfect accommodations in your life. But is the king in the room? Is the king in the room? Because if the king is in the room, that changes everything. If the king is in the room, when these educated and these uneducated men fixed their eyes on the king, everything else dulled in comparison. It didn't matter. Nothing else mattered in the room. To have the right perspective, they didn't look at the ground. They weren't focused on what was on the ground. It says, but they bowed down and worshiped him. Can I tell you how stinky a barn is? Can I tell you how questionable the way the floor might have looked that night? It says they got down, they bowed down and they worshiped him. They bowed down. No, I'm bowing down and worshiping you. You can stand up. You're the king. They bowed down. Jesus wasn't bowing down, okay? Jesus was standing up. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Their focus, their perspective was the king. All circumstances pale in comparison to the glory of our king. Can I tell you, don't let imperfections get in the way of your worship. And I say that in the broadest sense possible. Not just your Sunday morning worship, but the way that you live life before the Lord. Don't let the imperfections of life take away from the worship of your life. These men that came that night, there's probably some women there too. Amen. Women are an important part. They probably saw stuff before men saw stuff. Amen. Just like Mary. They were focused on the king. They were focused on the king. Listen, the king is the main thing. The king is the story. 2,000 years later, the king is the narrative. The king is the focus. The event is the king, not the imperfections. What do? We focus. And we worship. What do? On this miracle we call Christmas, we remember to focus and worship. Will you stand with me today? Father, I just thank you for each and every person that's here today. I thank you, God, for the miracle that you did when you sent us Jesus. Our lives have never been the same. Our lives will never be the same. We just thank you. If there's any in here, God, if there's anybody in here today that maybe you're a little bit distant, You feel like you're a little disconnected. You feel like you're a little bit far away. God wants to bring you close. God wants to draw you in today. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you, you say, I feel a little disconnected today. Just slip up your hand. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand today, I want to ask one of the prayer team just to stand beside you. I just want to pray a prayer because I believe God wants to connect with all of His children. God wants to connect with every single one of us. And the most important thing that we could do is experience Emmanuel, God with us, to know He is right with us. Not far away, not a prayer away, but He's walking with us, Emmanuel. And so I just want to say a prayer, whether it's you had it at one time. You had the relationship, but it kind of drifted. You feel a little distant, or maybe you never really had that connection with Him. I just want you to pray this prayer with me, and everybody can say this prayer. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for being Emmanuel. I receive you into my life. Please walk with me. Teach me how to walk with you. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for reconnecting me to God's family. I receive that free gift. Now I ask that you would walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. In Jesus' name. Everybody said.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.